Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
It's the final rewatch. The final rewatch. Oh, it's the final rewatch before the new season. It's the final rewatch. I'm watching them all. The final rewatch.
Final rewatch.
Greetings, stranger friends, and welcome back to the final rewatch. Before, of course, season 4 is probably not the final rewatch ever. I mean, that would be very presumptuous, which is probably one of the biggest words I've ever used. So here we are, chapter 2 of Stranger Things, The Weirdo on Maple Street. We got a lot happening here. And I know I said I wasn't going to take notes. I lied. I took little notes just to remind me of things because I watched it earlier today. Then I had to start working. Now I'm on my lunch break. I have a meeting in about an hour, but I thought I have enough time to talk about this and eat my lunch. Thank you to everybody, first of all, who watched, yesterday's or listened to yesterday's, episode. It was a nice little surprise. I didn't mention it or tweet that I was doing it. I just recorded it and boom, now the cat's out of the bag. Now everybody is hopefully everyone who listened to it is waiting for this one and enjoying this one as well. I want to give a quick shout out to M on Twitter at STIsLife, because it is, _011. Of course, _11. STIsLife_11, who wrote to me on Twitter and said something very, very nice. And I'm pulling it up now because I'm very good at this Twitter thing. So M said, where is it? My goodness gracious. This was an amazing surprise for me. Thank you for doing this. You're very welcome. And I said, thank you for listening. M also went on to say, already listened to all the episodes more than 6 to 8 times. That is amazing. Enjoy it every single time. Woo! I love it. I love it. I love it. And before I start talking specifically about this episode, I saw, a few days ago, on the 27th of April, they tweeted out, "Good morning, Eleven," and with a new poster of young Eleven, kind of a nice painting of her. There's my dog barking in the background. Looks like she's in her hospital gown. She's got the short hair, and she is overlooking Hawkins' lab. This is young Eleven, right? Like, there's no chance that this is all a flashback, all the stuff with the short hair Eleven. Imagine if it wasn't. Imagine if somehow, I don't even want to think about it. Nope. I'm not even going to let myself think about it. But today, they put out more posters. Eagle's Nest, do you copy? There was a tweet. There's my dog again. She's on the back deck. She loves it out there. But if something's out there that interests her, she will bark. We have Hopper, who looks like it's a great painting where we see Russia, but we also see, like, on one side blue sky, on the other side red sky with some mind flayer stuff in the background. They all kind of have two sides to the sky. Like Eleven's got green, sunny skies, probably her California world maybe on one side. And again, scary. You're just going to have to deal with my dog barking. I close the window. Hopefully that'll help. I apologize. With all the mind flayer stuff in the background, they all have that similar thing. But the three posters today were Hopper, Joyce, in a nice, like, knit cap because it's cold in Russia, and Murray, who's in some sort of, remember, they fly in. That's going to be crazy. Each poster has, it looks like it's the same setting, but it's not exactly the same. Like, if you look at Hopper's, there's a mind flayer kind of to the left of him. If you look at Joyce's, it looks like there's more mind flayer stuff and something towards the bottom, towards the ground. If you look at Murray's, nothing towards the ground really, some lightning maybe, and the mind flayer on the left side and up by his head, up towards the top of his head. Which I guess Hopper's is like that too. But oh my God, we don't even know Murray in this episode. We do see Hopper, we do see Joyce, and we see some stuff that leads us to realize that they have a past. They have a past. And what I think I want to do is, because I didn't take meticulous notes, I thought it would be best to, what I used to do, I have this Mad Men podcast that I did years ago, and sometimes what I would do is go through each character, and that would remind me what they did in the episode. So, Will, we don't actually get to see Will at all in this episode, except we do hear him one time go, "Mom," on the phone, and it's heartbreaking. And that leads to, what was Joyce doing? So, Joyce has kind of been a wreck. And please forgive me if what I'm getting here is wrong, but I watched it this morning and I'm going to do my best to kind of recap everything that I remember as well as the little notes that I have. Obviously Joyce is freaked out about what happened with her phone. Hopper comes to the house and they're like, she's like, "It's been 6 hours." He's like, "I have stuff to do there. It is busy. I am trying. I'm doing my best." She's like, "6 hours, Hop." And again, I said this the other day, the fact that she calls him Hop just shows that they have some sort of past. One of the deputies assumed that they were, together at some point. And the other deputy made a joke like, "Oh, hasn't she always been a little crazy?" And he's like, "Come on, man, her kid's missing." But he comes and looks at the phone. He thinks maybe a storm caused it. Obviously, she doesn't believe it. She thinks she has this idea and knows that something's up. Brenner was over. They overheard that phone conversation of her calling. I think it's when she called Flo about the phone, and they heard that, and she said, "I heard my son and I heard this thing." And you could already see this is what brings Brenner this is what brings the buyers on Brenner's radar. It's like you see certain things. We see our heroes get put on the bad guy's radar, and you see the bad guy be put on our radar when they're out for the search. Hopper's off for the search. I'm just jumping all over the place. Harper goes off for the search. Mr. Clark finds a little cloth, piece of cloth of Eleven's robe. Eleven's, you know, the hospital gown. And they're like, could it be anything? He's like, I don't know, maybe. And they're like, no kid would go through that tunnel. And they're like, you know, any kid would if they're hiding from something. And it shows the tunnel, the pipe, drain pipe that goes into the Hawkins Library. And boom, boom, boom. Now that leads, that's going to lead Hopper in the future to be have reason to go snoop around there. Aha. And of course, they're using the, they use the phone call to now go snoop around at the buyer's house. Now, what, I remember they went to the house. No one was there because Joyce was off buying a new phone. She went to her place of employment and says, I need a phone and I need an advance on the phone. He's like, I was paying this. She's like, listen, I've never missed a day. And all this time I worked on Christmas Eve. I worked on Thanksgiving. I worked all these times. I need 2 weeks of forward. I need this phone and I need a pack of Camels. And you could see the guy was resistant, but he, you know, he's going to take care of his Joyce. And while she's out of the house, they knock on the door, realize no one's there, and they start snooping around. They get into the shed, and they see some, I want to call it ectoplasm, some sort of goo, and they realize, oh, there's definitely something going on here. There's some sort of connection. But they all get out of there, right, by the time she goes, she gets home. Joyce really, I think, besides getting the phone, besides talking to Hopper, she just stays. Oh, there's moments where we see that Jonathan takes photographs and she's like, well, this is really nice. And they're kind of having this moment where they're going through photos and they're like, this is it. This is the one for Will. It's a perfect, it's a nice photo of him smiling. This is the one we're going to use. How depressing is that? Oh, this is such a great photo. We're going to use this for our son and brother's missing poster, you know, missing person poster. That is just depressing. But she says to Jonathan, oh, you know, these are really nice photos you've taken. And we see Jonathan break down and he's like, you know, I should have been there. I should have been there because he took some extra hours working. She's like, you know, no, your brother's a smart kid. You didn't do anything. You didn't cause this. When Hopper comes up, he's like, where's Lonnie? How far away? Where does Lonnie live? Jonathan's like, let me deal with it. I don't know if Hopper went to see Lonnie, because he's like, you got to stay home with your mom, kid. But Jonathan didn't care. He went anyway to go see his dad right away. I was like, oh man, we see the dad right away in the second episode. I didn't realize that. We see the dad is kind of like, he starts blaming Joyce for this. He starts blaming his mother. Like, maybe I'm not the bad guy, kid. Maybe you should move out here. It's like, oh, they'll find him. You know, he's a smart kid. They'll find him eventually. Like, he didn't really care all that much. He like cared as little as possible as you could. You know, thinking it's not a big deal. He's like, there are people searching. The cops are involved. And he's like, you know, it'll work itself out. Oh, does Hopper still work there? I think that's what he asked about. Like, you know, that's what we have to worry about. So Lonnie's obviously a jerk. And we know that. We know that now. We'll know that forever. But other than that, I feel like after that, Joyce sits around and waits on the phone for Will to finally call. When Will finally does call, that's when it goes a little crazy. And she hears the voice. The phone gets fried again. Then all of a sudden, the lights start going cuckoo. We hear the clash playing from the bedroom. Should I stay or should I go? Which is another thing that Jonathan was listening to when he had a flashback of him and Will when their parents were fighting. He's like, don't worry about... Oh, his dad wasn't coming to bring him to baseball. He's like, don't worry about that. You don't even want to go to baseball. Does he ever do anything you want to do? No. So don't even worry about it. Okay. And then he's like, maybe I want to do baseball. He's like, no, no, no. He wants you to do things that he thinks are normal. He goes, being normal is boring, something like that. And he gets him to play. He goes, you know, he's playing music for him. He tells him, you can keep this mix. It's got all these songs on it. It's going to change your life. And, one of them is Clash. Should I stay or should I go? And oh, you heard my dog again? He had that flashback listening to that song, while at the same time we hear the song later in Joyce's in the buyer's house, and that's basically Will doing anything he can to try to get his mother's attention on the Upside Down. which we get our first kind of glimpse of that, of where Will actually is. So the music's playing, and then, you know, like the bulbs are going, and then you see that thing stretching through the wall, trying to come through the wall, and that is freaky. She runs out of the house, and then she hears the music come back on. Should I stay or should I go? And she's thinking to herself, that's Will trying to talk to me. And the bravest woman in the world goes back into the house. I'm sorry. You know, I love my family. I love my wife. If my wife goes missing, and then I see a shape pushing its way through my bedroom wall, I think the first thing I would do is run. And the last thing I would do is come back in. Even if my wife is playing like her favorite song magically through the radio, I'm not sure that I could muster up enough courage to think. I don't know if I'd be smart enough, first of all, to think, well, that's her coming through the radio magically. I need to go back in the house. I'd be like, you know what? Let me wait until the wall stops trying to attack me. Then I'll go back in. Okay. With someone else. I'll wait till someone else is there. Maybe. I'm not as brave as Joyce Byers, clearly. I think that's the end of Joyce's journey. With Hopper, I'm trying to think what we get with Hopper. We get him on the search. We get him talking to Jonathan. We get him talking to Joyce. We get them on the search with, I said, the search with Mr. Clark. We get them near the quarry. Is that a quarry where they show the, you know, one of the deputies is like, oh man, we could jump this. And he talks about some guy jumped it for $10. It's like, no, he didn't. He lied to you. If anyone jumped that, you'd be hit that. You'd hit the ground, like you'd hit the water like pavement. Your bones would burst, you know, smash to pieces. And the guy's like, I don't know. What else we get? Oh, well, when I forgot to mention when Hopper and Joyce were talking about going, Joyce made a comment about Hopper's daughter. You could tell that Hopper just needed to leave. You could see that Joyce was out of line, felt out of line. You could see she regretted it. We also get Hopper at Benny's. And he's like, you know, Benny, he goes, one of the cops says, hey, you know, this must remind you of back in the big city. He's like, yeah, you know, we'd see this things, stuff like this all the time, except they were strangers. I know Benny. You know, I've been coming here for years. I've known Benny for you know, forever. Because they made Benny, it looked like he killed himself. So all of a sudden there's a kid missing and a suicide in 1 week. And so they're interviewing, or in a couple days, they're interviewing one of the guys who is inside the Benny's place. And he was like, oh, you know, Benny, everything seemed normal. He said he was going up to Etowah to go fishing. And I thought, hey, my wife and I, we know people in Etowah. We know a woman she grew up with and her family moved down there. I was like, hey, I know that place. Or I know of that place. I've never been. She has, but I haven't. So he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to go there. And he goes, you know, the only thing that was weird, there was this kid here the other day. And they're like, I'm sorry. He's like, Hopper's like, what kid? A kid? So, yeah, this little kid about this big. Was it Lonnie's kid? He's like, oh, no. Lonnie's kid. Come on. He goes, this kid, my dog's coming in now. He's like, no, this kid had like a shaved head. Lonnie's kid, they didn't look like Lonnie's kid at all. He's like, well, forget about the hair. Could they have been the same? It's like, well, I guess it's the same height. So now they're thinking, you know, they're confused that there's two kids out there. And Hopper's thinking, well, perhaps one of these kids, there's only one kid and it's Jonathan. I'm sorry, Will. So but it's interesting they call him Lonnie's kid. They don't say the buyer's kid. They don't say Joyce's son. They say Lonnie's son. So it just shows that this is a small town to me. This shows it's a small town where everyone knows each other. Lonnie is, you know, someone they all knew growing up. It was always Lonnie and Joyce probably. At some point it might have been Hopper and Joyce in high school, but Lonnie and Joyce, then Lonnie leaves. But you still think of like those Lonnie's family. That's what they think of it as, Lonnie's kid. Just that little way of saying it, the little turn of phrase just made me think of that. I think that was that thing. So we also see Hopper. We see him with a woman. Now this woman, he's like, you know, it looks like they spent the night together, and he's kind of like, you know, you ever think we're cursed in this town? He's like, there hasn't been a missing kid here. There hasn't been a suicide here since 23. You know, like, You ever think he starts to think, you know, he's cursed, probably thinking about his kid. I don't know when, what was it in the first episode of this episode? We see a drawing on the wall of a family with a kid. I think it was yesterday. And I think that's it for Hopper. Is the last thing we see with Hopper, him at the tunnel, looking up into the Hawkins laboratory at night. I think so. I think I covered everything for those two. Brenner, we don't see much. We see him on the phone. We see a little flashback of him and Eleven calling him Papa. And we see him at the house, the buyer's house. But I think that's it. I think, again, going on memory from a few hours ago. And, you know, I took a couple notes and I'm walking around my apartment right now. Didn't even read any notes. I'm not reading any of them. I probably should have. I says, Brenner knows the connection now after overhearing Joyce on the phone and is going to the house in the shed. Well, yeah. All the stuff with Mike and Eleven and the kids are fun. You know, we see they set up Eleven in the basement. I forgot how Lucas was very resistant to all this. He's like, what is this? This weirdo. What are we doing here? We don't want this. You know, like, I think she's the weirdo on Mapplethorpe. Right? Is it on Maple Street? Or is it Jonathan? I don't know. But we see the kids trying to set her up with something, right? Isn't that, they have her home, they have her set up for the night, and Mike's like, listen, this is what's going to happen. This is when he finds out, oh, you're 11. Well, my name is Mike, short for Michael. Why don't we call you L, short for 11? She's like, okay. Talks about friends. I think I could be getting this out of order. She's like, friend? He's not someone who you tell anything to and do things for, you know. And you can see Lucas and Dustin were, oh, you want a treat? I think my dog wants a treat. You could see Dustin was slightly resistant. Lucas was a lot more resistant to bringing Elle into this. Because he's like, you know, what is this? What are we doing? This is not right. We need to be out there looking for Will. But they're like, listen, you need to, tomorrow, you need to go. We're going to take care of things. You're going to go out outside, ring the doorbell in the morning, and then my mother will know what to do. She'll know what to call. And that might have been the next morning. I think they left her to go to bed. And then the next morning, Mike snuck downstairs, got her an Eggo, right? That's when we see the first Eggo waffle for her. He's like, him and Nancy were having like a little argument, like, oh, how was studying last night? What was it? Anatomy, human anatomy. They're kicking each other. And they're like, what's going on? Nothing. They both don't want to know. They both know they're hiding something they don't want to share with the parents. We see, so Mike goes down, gives Eleven the thing. That's when she says later, you need to come out, knock on the door. My mother will be able to help you. She goes, no. It's like, why? No, bad people. That's when Mike finds out that there are bad people out there. She doesn't want to go back to where she's from. And she makes a little like hand signal with the gun. She's like, do you understand? He's like, yeah, I understand. So I guess he leaves to go to school. We think. We see Lucas and Dustin show up at school. There's no seat there. Like, where is he? Oh, he's running late. They're probably worried about the girl and Mike being with this girl. And, how funny was it when they had her at night, they give her something dry and she goes to take her wet robe off right away. The gown and like, whoa, 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 whoa. And Dustin mimicking it later. She's like, she's trying to do this. He's like pretending to lift it up over his head. Hilarious. So Mike pretends to go to school, goes back to the house and hangs out with Eleven, shows her around the house. Calls Nancy pretty. He's like, yeah, I guess. Shows her the lazy boy chair. And at one point brings her up to his bedroom. And it was very much like Elliot and E.T. looking at these little toys. Then she sees a picture of Will and she recognizes it. And now I think at this point, Mike's mother came home. Oh, they were sneaking upstairs. Mike's mother came home, spotted him, And he's like, listen, I'm sorry. I wasn't feeling good. And the last time I did that, you let me go. She's like, I understand. There's a lot going on with Will. You can talk to me. So she let him stay home. And she he's up in the bedroom, right? This is when Lucas and Dustin get out of school. They come right away to see her. And they're like, what are you doing? You're still hanging out with her. He's like, she recognized Will. He's like, what are you talking about? She pointed at him. She saw him. And they're like, this isn't right. We gotta figure this out. We need to take care of this. I think Lucas wanted to tell the parents, tell somebody. And boom, the door slammed, the door locked. And they turn around, they see 11 with a nosebleed. And she's like, no. I think Mike also said there are bad people searching for her. And they're like, that's when they were nervous. She says, no. Then they go, is it back downstairs? Or they say, listen, we're really sorry. Dustin says, we're really sorry. We didn't know you had superpowers. And they stay for dinner. So they're going to figure, I forget exactly what they're going to do. This is awful. Very different than yesterday's episode where I did take a couple notes and I just watched it and just talked about it. This is me hours later trying to remember everything. But hey, this is the rewatch, the final rewatch. I told you it was going to be casual, and I'm wandering around my apartment, probably going to go hide in the bathroom just so my dog stops staring at me. They're eating dinner, and it's very funny. You see 11 walk by, and Dustin smashes the table. He's like, what? Oh, sorry. A spasm, because they don't want the parents to look up. See the 11s walking around the house. I'm trying to think what else happens with the kids. Cause she says bad men bang, does the mimic of the gun, shows Dustin and Lucas that. But I don't know if there's anything else they do. My God. I know Nancy, we see stuff with Steve. We see Nancy and Barb talking about going to Steve's at night. Barb is not into it. Barb is not interested in it. My dog's going back out now. There's a rally for Jonathan, for the Byers family. They saw Jonathan at the school putting up posters. And, the jerks, they were like, look at him. Oh, my God. And Nancy, very nice, goes over and says anything. Barb and the jerks stand there. She goes over and says, apologizes, says just basically letting him know that they're thinking about him. He's like, thanks. He takes off back out. And they're still in school there. So later on, she's like, oh, the rally. I'm going to go. I should really go to that. She was never going to that. Her and Bob end up going to hang out at Steve's because Steve's parents are out of the house. They're shotgunning beers. They're listening to rock and roll music. They're jumping in pool fully clothed. Barb is not into it, but she even tries. She even succumbs to peer pressure to have a beer, cuts her hand, bleeds a little. Uh-oh. If you know anything about monsters, monsters love blood. And we all know what happens from there. Well, Nancy and Steve stay together. Nancy wants to stay with Steve, so they go upstairs. She starts changing out of her wet clothes, and they start, smooching. And she's like, go home, Barb. And Barb just is going to hang out. And I've been that third wheel before, just hanging out. Oh, it's not fun. And she's by the pool. Now, it is a little creepy seeing Jonathan, he's in the woods looking for photos, looking for clues. He hears screaming, and he sees that he comes upon the backyard of Steve's house, where he starts taking pictures, which I have to admit, later on when they find out about the pictures, I can't disagree that it is a little creepy taking those photos, a little stalky, a little stalkery. But he's changing his film. When he's changing his film, he's looking down at something. He gets distracted. That's when Demogorgon, we see the first kind of flower face of the Demogorgon pop open, grab Barb, gone. Barb's gone. We don't know where Barb is. We don't know, already, the end of the second episode, no Barb. I was like, wow, I forgot it was that fast. Everyone talks about justice for Barb, and boom, she's already, in hot water or no water. Or under upside down water. Oh my God. I'm all over the place. I forgot. The kids all went down and she looked at the, 11 looked at the Dungeons and Dragons board, picked up Will the Wise's wizard and said, Will. And then she's like, you know where he is? She goes, show us on the board where he would be. She takes the board. She flips it over. There's your first thought of the upside down. Puts it there. She's like, what's he doing there? What do you mean? Hiding. Hiding from what? Hiding from who? And then she grabs the Demogorgon and slams it down, the biggest thing that looks like a monster. And it's like, oh my God. You know, there's a monster. She feels it. Dustin seems to be into it. Lucas, I still don't think he's sold. I forget. They kind of split off at some point early on. So I'm going to look at my notes really quick to see if there's anything of interest that I wrote. We see the first hint of Hopper's big city life. I forgot that Lucas wasn't totally into things. We got our first nosebleed. I mentioned Etoile. I mentioned Lonnie's kid. I wrote down that Barb should have dropped her off and left. I said, Hopper is in bed with some random woman who I don't think we ever see again. Looks like they've been dating a bit, maybe off and on, because they weren't, it wasn't like a one-night stand thing. They weren't like strangers. I see. Yep. She recognizes Will's figurine. Jonathan takes the camera into the woods. He also visited Lonnie. Joyce gets a phone and the camels. I think that, yeah. Oh, I wrote this down. You push a kid into a pool now, there's a great chance you're going to ruin their phone. They didn't worry about that in the 80s. I think that's all my notes. Oh, yeah, Brenner. I covered everything, I think. That's how this is going to be. It's going to be a little different. Sometimes it's going to be me in front of my my microphone where I am thinking because I just watched the episode. Sometimes it's going to be me hours later talking into my handheld recorder, wandering around my apartment, trying to avoid my dog barking at me before my lunch break ends because I have a meeting in 27 minutes. So this episode will be up later on this afternoon, probably maybe early this evening. But, two for two, right? Two for two. And this, we finally get a glimpse at the monster. We get clues that Will is hiding someplace. We get more character building with everybody. God, Steve Harrington's friends are just a bunch of, I'll just call them D's. You can decide whatever the D stands for. Those are a couple of D's. And what else? I think, and of course we see our friends dealing with things, dealing with their friend being missing, this mysterious girl showing up. We got the flashback when Eleven was in the closet. We get a flashback of her getting thrown into solitary confinement with Papa, Papa. That's where you make the real connection. You say, oh, they know each other too. You know, these are things you probably knew, you probably expected, but you're seeing it. Oh, there's that guy with the girl. Boom. You have to remember, this is 6 years ago, and people are like, what is this show? What is going on here? You know, I remember, I think I was homesick, I think. Or I took a personal day, I forget. And I was like, oh, that show's on, let me watch one. And then I was like, let me watch another. Let me watch three more. And I think I left one episode to the next day. But that's the problem with Netflix sometimes. You watch them, and then you're done, you're like, oh, now I have to wait so long. Now, at least with Stranger Things, we're going to get four or five. And then we only have to wait like another month. So that is exciting to get the other half. That gives me time to get all these episodes ready for you, the listener. And again, I appreciate each and every one of you. If you do, leave a review or leave a voicemail and I don't get to it right away. It could be also that some of these episodes I might start recording and banking and then posting. So I may have recorded it a week or two before they actually get out to you. I'm just behind on things and I haven't caught up and checked on new reviews or new voicemails, but I will definitely get to everything. I appreciate it all so much. Thank you so much. And until the third episode, until next time, until chapter three, I just want to say thank you for listening and subscribing. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Geek Mentality. You can find the show on Twitter at Stranger D Pod, and everything, every episode is available. The bonus episodes, the the book club episodes, the every episode of Stranger Things, and of course, this rewatch you can find at fansnotexperts.com/strangerdanger. And until next time, my friends, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing, and stay stranger, my friends, and look out! Look out! Look out, Bob! It's the Demogorgon!
Fans Not Experts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.